You have your Bible with you this evening. We're turning in the Gospel of Luke. Turning to the Gospel of Luke and to the 8th chapter. Luke's Gospel, chapter 8. We shall begin our reading at verse 41. That is Luke chapter 8 and verse 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a-dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and thou sayest thou, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue was gone out of me." And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." Amen. We'll end our reading there with the prayer that God will add his blessing to the public reading of his own holy and his infallible word. Before we consider the word the Lord has laid upon my heart for this evening, we once again need the Lord's help and the power of the Holy Spirit. And once more, I would ask every Christian to pray that the power of the Holy Spirit of God will be evident in this service tonight to the salvation of souls. Let us all now pray. Eternal, loving Father and gracious God, we bow in thy holy presence, in the presence of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We come, dear Lord, to thee this night in prayer, thanking thee, Lord, for another gospel preaching season. Thanking thee, Lord, for another opportunity given to the unsaved who are in this tent this night. And dear Lord, we know that for every one of us, we're only a step away from death. We're only a heartbeat away. And yet, Lord, there are those this evening who are not prepared to die. They're not prepared to meet God. And Lord, I ask, O God, tonight, pleading the merits of the blood. I ask tonight, pleading the name of the Lord Jesus. I ask tonight, standing on the promises of thy word, that, O God, thou would save sinners tonight. I ask thee, O God, that thou this night in the name of Christ and by the blood of Christ, thou would bind the devil. I ask thee, Lord, this evening that victory will be given in this tent, and the Spirit of the living God will fall afresh upon us this evening. Lord, grant to me the power of thy Spirit, that, O Lord, I might be enabled to preach the word. And in preaching the word, I will preach Christ, and I will make much of his precious atoning blood. In the Savior's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Luke's Gospel, chapter 8, and verse 46. And Jesus said, somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me. The incident involving this unnamed woman is recorded for us in the first three Gospels. And a careful study of all three narratives will yield some interesting thoughts and truths. For example, whenever you consider Matthew's record of this incident, it appears that Matthew concentrates upon this woman's thoughts. Her thoughts are revealed in Matthew 9, verses 20 to 22. And then when we come to study Mark's account, he seems to concentrate more upon this woman's trials, the trials that she went through over the 12 years of her disease. Now when we come to Luke's account, he has a great deal to say about this woman's touch. That touch through which her body was wonderfully and gloriously healed by the power of Jesus Christ. So you have Matthew and Mark and Luke, and they all have something to say, something unique to say to each evangelist regarding this woman. But there is one thing they all agree upon. Jesus was the one who healed her. Jesus was the one who healed that body. Indeed, we see that our wonderful Lord put forth his power in three most wonderful ways that surround this one particular incident. If you were to read Mark's Gospel, you would find there the Lord Jesus going to the land of Gadara. And there he meets the man called Legion. And by his power he casts out the demons from Legion. And Legion becomes a new creature in Christ Jesus. And then Jairus comes to him to tell him about his daughter who was a dying. And as the Lord Jesus went to the house of Jairus, that's when he met this woman, or this woman met him. And after he had cast out the demons from Legion, here he cures the disease of this woman. And from there he goes on to the house of Jairus, and when he arrives, of course, that little 12-year-old girl is a still form lying upon that bed. She has given up the ghost. But you will find in the Gospels, wherever the Lord Jesus came in contact with death, he always raised the dead. Death was never victorious in the presence of Christ. And that is why when he hung upon the cross, the Lord Jesus had to die first. The thieves on each side of him could not die. while Christ was still alive. And he goes into the house of Jairus, and there he raises this child to life again. Think of those three incidents. First of all, in Legion, he puts forth his power and he defeats the demons. Regarding this woman, he delivers her from her disease. And then he went to the house of Jairus and he raised the dead. Hallelujah. You see, there's not a difficulty, there's not an incident, there's not a problem, there's not a burden, there's not a need that the Lord Jesus cannot meet. He has power over demons, he has power over disease, and he has power over death. And so you see, my friend, as you're gathered here this evening, it doesn't matter what need you have, or what problem you have, or what burden you carry. There's one in this tent this night who is able to help you, and he's able to deliver you. And glory to God, he's able to save you. That's what he did for this woman. In an instant, he changed her life, and he gave this woman something to live for. You know, there are thousands today, there are hundreds in Macrofell tonight, and you know something? They have nothing to live for. Nothing. Oh, they may live for the Saturday night in the club or down at the old booze center. That's all they have to live for. But the person who knows Jesus Christ, glory to God, has something to live for. Everything to live for. What a wonderful, wonderful day when Jesus came into my heart. That's the song of every Christian in this tent tonight. And you know something? Our way is growing bright. Our souls are on the wing. We're going by and by to the palace of the King. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We have something to live for. We have something to look forward to. But you're here this night and you don't have anything to live for, except the sins of this world. That's all you have to satisfy. But you know full well, you know I'm telling you the truth, that the sins of this world, the enjoyments, the pleasures of this world don't last. You know that. I'm not telling you something that you don't know. But I will tell you this in case you don't know this. Jesus Christ satisfies. Now none but Christ can satisfy. None other name for me. There's love, there's life, there's everlasting joy, Lord Jesus, found in thee. And that day, as the Lord Jesus was on his way to the house of Jairus, he met this woman. And I want to look at this woman tonight, and the first thing we want to consider is the woman and her condition. Now, during the Lord's ministry, the dear Savior met all kinds of people with all kinds of ailments and all kinds of problems. Every day, men and women were brought to him in their pain and in their poverty, and many of them in pitiful state of body and mind. One such person was this woman that we meet with here in these verses. We have here, first of all, her condition described. A very brief description is given of her condition, but enough to tell us that she suffered from a terrible affliction. Verse 43, And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. I want you to notice something regarding this condition. There's a time mentioned here. Time. This woman suffered from this disease for no less than 12 years. Poor soul. That's a long time to suffer from any ailment, any malady, and any disease. 12 years. But wait, look at the previous verse. And in the previous verse, there we read regarding Jairus that he had one only daughter about 12 years of age. So here we have a period of time, are these individuals associated with the same period of time, 12 years. Jairus and his wife had 12 years of joy, 12 years of blessing, enjoying their one and only daughter. But at the end of 12 years, that life of that little girl was taken away, and Jairus and his wife were plunged into the depths of sorrow. For that same period of time, the day that that child was born, approximately the same time this woman contacted this disease. And for 12 years she suffered the disease. Now tell me, which do you think was the worst? If you had a choice, what choice would you make? Would you have a child for 12 years only to see it pass away and give up the ghost and die? Or would you say, no, I would rather struggle with 12 years of disease? That would be a hard choice, wouldn't it? Yes, Jairus could say to that woman, no, my position, my state's worse than yours. I've just lost a daughter. But the woman could say, no, Jairus, my state is worse. I've had a disease for 12 years. You see, what I'm saying is that we all have our trials and our tribulations. We all have our problems, and they're all peculiar to us. And someone tells you about their trial or their sickness or their burden. And you're thinking in your mind, well, really, his problem or her problem isn't as bad as mine. He doesn't know what I have gone through. But whether the problem or the burden or the trial is small or great, the point is, it's all peculiar to each one of us. Jairus could say, this is my burden. The woman could say, this is my burden. And it was peculiar to each one of them. And the one common factor, both of them came to Jesus. Jairus, with his burden, came to Christ. The woman with her burden came to Christ. And whatever your burden is tonight, whether it is small and great or great in the eyes of others, there's one person you can come to. There's one person you can come to who is the great burden bearer. Not what we were singing tonight. Days are filled with sorrow and care. Hearts are lonely and drear. Burdens are lifted at Calvary. Jesus is very near. And glory to his name, he's the great burden bearer. And he'll bear your burden. He'll take away your burden, whatever it is. But the greatest burden that you carry tonight is the burden of sin. And just as Jairus discovered there was nowhere that he could go to, no one who could help him like Jesus Christ, this woman knew there was no one could help her like Jesus Christ, so there's no one can help you like Jesus Christ. He's the only one. He's the only one. He's the only one who can lift your burden of sin. The only person in all the world. Jesus Christ alone. And you must come to Christ tonight. And just as Jairus came and just as this woman came, why don't you come tonight to the Lord? And then you'll be able to say with Elisha, a half man that was down at the feet of Jesus, where I brought my guilt and sin, that he canceled out all my transgressions and salvation entered in. Wonderful, wonderful day. I've said before, you come this night to Christ, receive the Lord Jesus, and salvation will enter in, and you will not regret this evening. You will write down this date, and you will not forget this Thursday night as long as you live, because you'll say it was on that Thursday night salvation entered in. Best night of my life. It was the time regarding her condition. And then there's also the terms, how her condition was described. Matthew 9, verse 20, is described as a disease. Mark 5, 29, he described it as that plague. And then there's a chapter in the book of Leviticus where this woman's condition is described according to the ceremonial law as being unclean. Disease, plague, unclean. Disease, plague, and unclean. Now, these are all unflattering terms to describe this dear woman's physical condition. But you know something? This terminology, this exact same terminology, is used to describe man's natural spiritual condition. These terms are used to describe that man or that woman who's still in their sin. Because you see, sin is a disease. Sin is a plague. And sin is unclean. And as this woman found there to be no remedy for her condition, and so, my friend, there is no remedy outside Jesus Christ for your sinful condition. And the point is this. You need to attend to your sinful condition, because your sin will damn your soul in hell forever. You see, you cannot afford to die as a sinner. Oh no, you can't afford to leave this scene of time. You can't afford to go into eternity with none of your sins forgiven, none of your sins pardoned. You'll perish. Isn't that what we learned the other night? Isn't that what we learned from the words of the Lord Jesus? Except you all repent, you shall all likewise perish. repent or perish. And my friend, tonight you need to repent of your sin. You need to acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the only one who can save you. And lift that burden. Cleanse your soul. Make you a new creature. As Horatius Bonner wrote the words, "No other work save thine, no meaner blood will do, no strength save that which is divine can bear me safely through. Thy work alone, my Savior, can ease this weight of sin. Thy blood alone, O Lamb of God. Thy blood alone, O Lamb of God, can give me peace within." Have you got that? Only Christ, through his blood, can wash away your sin, your soul-damning sin can only be washed away in the blood of the Lord Jesus. It'll not be washed away by water. It'll not be washed away by works. It only can be washed away by the blood of Christ. If there was some other way, listen, if there was some other way for you to be in heaven, to have the assurance tonight that you'll be in heaven, if there was some other way, then there was no need for the Lord Jesus to leave heaven and come into this world and to suffer, bleed, and die. And the very fact that Christ came into the world, the very fact that God reached into his own bosom and took the very darling of his bosom and gave him as a sacrifice for sin tells us, teaches us, as we would say here, it's as plain as the nose on your face, the fact that Jesus came teaches us there's no other way. We see that her condition was desperate. When we meet someone who has been ill for some time, we usually have a word with them, ask them how they're doing, and they say, "Well, when did you fall ill?" And they say, "Well, it was a number of weeks ago or months ago." And they might say, "Well, I'm doing fine now. I'm fully recovered," and we rejoice. But here's a dear woman. If we were to meet her and ask her how she keeping, she would say, "I would have a terrible disease." And how long have you had that disease? 12 years. What would you be able to say to her? And here's a story about a woman who had an affliction for 12 years and there's no happy ending. There's no way this woman could say, "Well, I feel fine now. I'm better now." No. 12 years. She was desperate for a cure. Someone who could heal her. Someone who could help her. We're told she spent all her living on physicians, neither could be healed of any. That's a pretty desperate state to be in. Neither could she be healed of any. She spent all her living on physicians. And maybe, my friend, tonight there's some need, there's some problem in your life. There is some burden that you're carrying tonight and you've carried it for years. Maybe some family burden. Maybe some financial burden. Maybe some physical burden. You've carried that burden for years and you've said, "I would do anything. I would do anything to have this burden lifted." This woman felt the same way. She would have done anything. She would have spent any money. She would have sacrificed anything to be rid of this awful disease. That's why she spent all her living on physicians. Neither could be healed of anything. My friend, if you have that burden tonight, that problem tonight, that need tonight in your life, you don't need to do anything. No. What you do is come to Jesus Christ. That's what you do. That's what this woman did. There was no hope for her. She had no hope of a cure. There was no help for her condition. There was no healing for her complaint until she met Jesus Christ. My, how many lives has Christ changed? You read through the Gospels there. They brought these people to him every day. The diseased, the halt, the blind, the dumb, the lame. And I love the words when it says he healed every one of them. You see, nobody, no one who ever comes to Christ is turned away. The Lord will not turn you away tonight and say, you have a burden I can't carry, and you have a problem I cannot solve, and you have a need that I cannot meet. He'll never do that. He never has. And glory to God, he never will. So what's your need tonight? Tell me, what is your burden tonight? What is the problem that's plaguing you? What is it that keeps you awake at night sometimes? What is it that gives you that churning feeling in the pit of your stomach? Whatever it is, Christ is the answer. I don't care what it is. Let me tell you, I don't care what your need or your problem is. Jesus Christ is the answer. Whatever it is. He covers all kinds of burdens. He covers all kinds of problems. He meets all kinds of needs. And praise his name, he's here tonight. Isn't that great? He's here tonight. You don't have to go anywhere. The Lord Jesus is here this evening. And you know something? He's only a prayer away. All you need to do tonight is repent of your sin and cry, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And there's not a man or a woman or a young person who has offered that prayer from the heart to God that the Lord has not answered. He has answered that prayer from anyone who has offered it to him. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he has been merciful. What's your need tonight? Have you ever had or had that feeling in your heart, there's really no hope for my need? There's no hope for my marriage problems. How many in this little province of Ulster have marriage problems tonight? How many sad homes and divided homes are there tonight? How many destroyed marriages are there tonight? And maybe you're here tonight and there's a problem in your marriage. Let me tell you, Jesus is still the answer. Christ can sort out the problems in your marriage. I'm telling you. Maybe it's not a marriage problem, maybe it's a money problem. Or maybe like this woman, it's a medical problem. You need the Lord. You need Jesus Christ, because Christ is the great physician. Jesus Christ is that balm in Gilead. Jesus is the great healer. He's the healer of homes. He's the healer of lives. He's the healer of marriages. He's the healer of hearts. He's the savior of the soul. Oh, her state and her condition was desperate. She came that day to the Lord Jesus. She'd spent all her living on many physicians, but was no better. Do you know something? Whenever this woman came to the greatest physician of all, she was healed, and it cost her nothing. What do you think of that? 12 years. Whatever money she had, she was desperate to be healed of this awful disease, and every shekel she could find, she spent it on physicians, and she spent all her living. She was bankrupt. Until she met Jesus that day, and that woman, the day she met Christ, became richer than a millionaire. And the healing of that woman's body cost her nothing. She was saved for nothing. And so it is today. The message is the same. Free. Free. Salvation is free. Why not believe it? It is good news for thee. Jesus, the just one, has died on the tree. Died for guilty sinners. And hallelujah, salvation is free. Isn't that great? Not a cent will it cost you. Not a penny will it cost you. The only thing it will cost you will be your sin. But sure, you'll be glad to get rid of your sin, won't you? Why is it free? Why? Because Jesus paid it all on Calvary. God demanded that a life be given and that blood be shed. Jesus Christ gave his life. Jesus Christ shed his blood. And in the shedding of his blood, we can say Jesus paid it all. All to him we owe, sin had left a crimson stain. But Jesus washed as white as snow. Her condition was deteriorating. She had spent her living upon physicians. Neither could be healed of any. No one had the answer to her need. But then we're told in Mark 5, verse 26, she had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. Worse. Worse is the word. She got worse and worse. Her condition at the end of 12 years was worse than at the beginning of the 12 years. And I'll tell you something for nothing tonight. If you're still sitting there in your sin, your state is worse now than it was 12 years ago. Your state is worse now than it was 12 months ago. Your condition is worse now than it was 12 days ago. Your condition is worse tonight than it was 12 hours ago. You're a greater sinner now than you were 12 years ago. You're a greater sinner now than you were 12 months ago. There are more sins down to your account tonight than 12 hours ago. You've had another day to live for the devil. You've had another day to live without God and without Christ. You have another day to live as a Christ rejecter. Your condition is worse. I'm telling you. You can dress it all up. You can say, oh, I attend the free church. You can say, well, I'm a good neighbor. I'm a good workmate. I try to help people. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter that. Your condition's worse. You're a greater sinner now than you were 12 years ago. And you're a greater sinner tonight than you were last night. Now, what are you going to do? Your state, your condition is deteriorating. Your sins are worse. Your condemnation is worse. State of your heart is worse. My friend, the state of your soul is in no way improving, but steadily getting worse, harder and harder and harder against the gospel, and nearer and nearer and nearer a lost eternity. And here's Christ in the meeting tonight. And I've said, he's only a prayer away. Why will you not accept him? You can have all your sins blotted out. You know those sins you'd be ashamed of if anybody knew about them. You know those things you get up to if the person sitting beside you here tonight were to know about it. You'd hang your head in shame. You'd blush. You know those things that you get up to at night when you think nobody's watching and nobody sees, and you'd be horrified if your friends knew about them. You'd be horrified if the minister found out. Well, listen. You don't need to be troubled about those sins anymore. You don't need to be troubled about those dark, terrible, desperate sins that hide away there in the corridors of your mind that trouble your conscience from time to time. You don't need to worry about them anymore. If you this evening come and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, they'll all be blotted out. They will. Blotted out. Never to be remembered against you anymore. And if they're blotted out tonight by the blood of Christ, God will have forgotten all about them, casting them into the sea of his forgetfulness. Why? Because they're all under the blood. And when he would look upon you, he would see you standing complete in Christ. He wouldn't see your sin, he would just see the righteousness of his dear Son. And you would stand as acceptable with God as Jesus Christ is. Would you not like to stand complete in Christ tonight instead of going on day after day struggling with these sins, carrying this burden? I go quickly. Notice the woman and her cleansing. We're told how it all came about. First of all, we're told that she heard about Christ. Mark 5, verse 27 says, when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind him and touched his garment. She heard about Jesus. I wonder what she heard. Well, if we go back to chapter 6, we find out what she heard. For in Luke chapter 6 and verse 19, we read, verse 18, "And they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him, and healed them all." That's what she heard. She heard that if people came and got near enough to him and touched his garment, virtue would go out of him and they were healed. Now, isn't it interesting, whenever the Lord Jesus was passing by this way, that's exactly what this woman did. She came in the press behind him and touched his garment. That's what she'd heard. That's what she heard about how she could be healed. The word virtue means power. Power went out of him. And I'm sure, my friend, tonight you've heard many things about the power of Jesus. I'm sure you've heard tonight about his gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You've heard about the power of Jesus Christ, declared to be the Son of God with power. You've heard also that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. And what were we singing tonight? Praise the Lord, there's power in the blood. And I love that little chorus on at the end. And the blood shall never lose its power. No, never. No, never. Jesus' blood avails for me forever. And shall never lose its power. And there's power tonight in the blood to cleanse your soul. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what you've been up to or down to. I don't care what kind of a life you've lived. There's power in Jesus' blood tonight to wash you, cleanse you, transform you, make you a new creature. Make you a new man, for there's power in the blood of the Lamb. Isn't that wonderful that there is such a power in the blood of Christ? There's such a power somewhere that can cleanse you and change you and take away all your sins. I think that's wonderful. I trust you think it's wonderful too. And as you've come to this tent tonight, and you're in your sin, you're troubled about your sin, and you're laboring under the burden of sin, those old filthy, dirty, rotten sins that trouble your mind and your conscience betimes, well, Christ will cleanse them tonight. He'll wash them all away. You can go out tonight, as it were, with a clean slate. Imagine. Imagine. You can go out tonight of this tent with a clean slate, with a clean heart, with a clean life and a clean soul. Clean. Maybe you haven't known anything about that which is clean for years. As far as your life is concerned, maybe clean is foreign to your life. You've been steeped so far down in sin. But you're going to be made clean tonight. Just one more thought. This woman, we're told, came in the press behind him. She felt her uncleanness. That's why she came behind him. And she touched his garment, the hem of it. And virtue or power went out of Christ, and she was healed immediately. The ladies here tonight will know, when it comes to dressmaking, the hem is the last part to be finished on the dress. It's the finishing touch. How was this woman cleansed? How are sinners cleansed today? By the finished work of Christ. That's what cleanses men and women from their sin. The finished work of Christ. It's not the church. Whatever you do, don't put your trust in the church. It's not the church, it's Christ. And the Lord Jesus said, "Who touched me?" And Peter couldn't believe that the Lord had said that. He says, "But there's a multitude here. I don't know." You read down that there. The Lord said, "Who touched me?" When all denied Peter, and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" In other words, this woman to Peter was a nobody. She was just a face in the crowd. Then Jesus said, "Somebody touched me." So from being a nobody to Christ, she was a somebody. And the last words the Lord said to her was, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace." First of all, she was a nobody. Then she was a somebody. And finally, she was a daughter. She was one of the Savior's own. One of his children. She was now his daughter. Wonderful. You can be a son or a daughter of Christ tonight, brought into the family of God, and you have a right to all the privileges and benefits that are given to God's family. Would you not like that tonight? Sure you would. Would you not like to be saved tonight? Become a Christian tonight. Have all those old filthy, rotten, dirty sins washed away. Then come. That's what this woman did. In all her uncleanness, she came to Christ. And Christ made her whole. Send her away in peace. Many people in this country tonight would love to have peace. You can know it tonight. May the Lord bless you. Amen.